Welcome to the Movie Film Show, featuring the insightful reviews of Mr. Film and Mr. Movie. This week we review Super 8 and Beautiful Boy. And now, here are Mr. Movie and Mr. Film.
Hello, I'm Mr. Film.
And I'm Mr. Movie. For our first review, writer-director J.J. Abrams brings us Super 8, which he co-produced with Steven Spielberg, about a group of kids who stumble upon the supernatural while shooting a zombie movie in the late 1970s. Indeed, it is a strange mix of genres, combining a period piece coming-of-age story with sci-fi horror. Here's the trailer.
I've got nothing against your friends. I like your friends. Now, things have obviously changed for us.
I have to help Charles finish his movie.
And action!
Freighter derailed.
I've got 9 people missing now. There are things happening around here that I can't explain.
Luckily, Mr. Film, this movie can proudly wear the Truth in Marketing badge of honor. And if you've seen the trailer and walk away feeling a little ho-hum, don't be surprised to have that very same feeling after watching the PG-13 rated 1 hour 52 minute movie from Paramount Pictures. It's not that Super 8's story is bad, albeit a little far-fetched. And who can blame a razzle-dazzle high-budget science fiction flick for being far-fetched? The problem is that we don't really know that going into it, and I'm really trying not to give anything away here for those who haven't seen the picture, but I feel like we have to at least reveal that to have an intelligent discussion here, Mr. Film.
Mm-hmm, so, I agree.
Yeah, so let's just leave it at that. There's an element of far-fetched science fiction here. Okay. And while all that's fine and good, the problem is that we just don't care about all the sci-fi stuff in here. And the reason we don't care is because of the movie's setup, which is about a group of kids shooting a zombie movie on Super 8 film. And I can say the F word here because we're talking about the medium on which it is shot, not as a synonym for movie, which would just be wrong, Mr. Film.
Of course.
Anyway, a group of kids are shooting this zombie movie on Super 8, and the backdrop here is that the main character's mother has died in an accident at a local manufacturing plant, and the girl who is in this, who's played quite well by Elle Fanning, her father was involved in the accident in some way. So there's naturally some tension between the parents of the main kid and this girl. And that alone is enough drama and has enough emotional clout to carry the movie all by itself. I found myself wanting these characters to be developed more and see these kids make this movie in what could have been a really great coming-of-age tale. But instead, J.J. Abrams brings in this supernatural element that takes us out of the initial story, and, well, it's just annoying. I could care less about the sci-fi side story, which employs cheap horror-style scares and really made me end up kind of resenting the picture. In other words, this is just a big budget beaver. Look, I know we've referenced the beaver too many times on this show, Mr. Film, especially since nobody's probably even seen it. But I have to bring it up here because it's the same exact problem on a bigger scale. At least in The Beaver, it tried to integrate its A and B stories together, although it didn't quite work. Here, the B story comes along and pretty much stamps out the initial story. It upstages it and takes over and robs the picture of the emotional impact and promise it suggested in the beginning. The other thing I want to mention is that this is co-produced with Steven Spielberg, and you can really see his hand at play here. Visually, this looks a lot like a Spielberg movie, especially War of the Worlds. We get overly detailed disaster scenes and special effects that feel overly staged. And it's too bad because generally I'm a big fan of a stylized approach to movie making, but something about it actually takes us out of the picture. It's almost as if Spielberg, you know, just runs in here and says, "Golly gee, look at me, I'm Steven Spielberg, and I staged this disaster scene so you can tell it was me who did it." Again, the telling here gets in the way of the story. The rest of the cast is fine. I don't have too much to criticize about it. But Elle Fanning, I have to say, really is terrific. I think she shows a lot of promise. And although a few scenes she's in feel a bit off and inconsistent with her character, I think we can really blame that on a directorial issue, and it's not really her fault. So while ultimately I found the picture dissatisfying, I didn't hate it either. So I'm going to give it a C+.
Oh, Mr. Movie, please. I found Super 8 both dissatisfying and I hated it. I hated this picture so much it made me mad.
Really?
Oh, my God. I hated this picture. Now, you're absolutely correct that there is truth in advertising here. It is about kids who are making a homemade zombie flick in 1979 Ohio, and something weird and supernatural happens. But you're also right that the Super 8 coming of age stuff was the most interesting part of the picture. I think that the whole idea that we're going to, you know, drag people in to see this thing is really wrong. I think that you're spot on that the coming of age stuff is the best stuff here. And I'm not a huge fan of coming of age stories, but this one could have been a really good one.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and this could have been a great picture about overcoming loss, coming of age, being mixed up in a mystery in a kid's sort of way, which I'll get to in a second. But instead, writer-director Abrams gets caught up, surprise, surprise, in working on his daddy issues yet again. Dude, go to a psychiatrist, you're rich. And peppering the film with all manner of boring special effects and mystery stuff, just like he did in Lost, and just as stupidly, we all went and got sucked into it. The film ultimately looks and feels like a 1980s flick. And while it is a period piece, this is not a compliment. It's the big problem with the picture, one of the big problems with the pictures, is just an exercise in getting people in the cinema and not telling a great story. And it doesn't even look great. I don't like the way early 80s pictures look and feel, and this, you know, has that kind of stamped out sort of manufactured sort of feel, and I get that's what it feels like here. Now, I think it's really ironic, though, that the weakness here is the gimmick. And your beaver comparison is apt here. And it's funny that there's a pointed discussion between what I suspect are the Abrams Spielberg kiddie stand-ins about how the zombie script for the little Super 8 film they're making needs a better story. Now, don't get me wrong. The sci-fi supernatural elements don't bother me per se. They could have been used to great effect. But it would have been more fun or at least more interesting if the supernatural elements weren't supernatural at all. Instead, we get the kids building up that whole inciting incident into something more than it was, with them blurring the lines between reality and fantasy. They see it as a big mystery where it really isn't. And then we learn that the event was a bit more interesting than what a dumb kid could ever think of. So we get, you know, the adult perspective on that. Well, that's not what we get. We get this stupid sci-fi spaceship thing, whatever that is.
You're giving away too much, Mr. Phil.
You know what? I really don't care. but my biggest problem with the flick, surprisingly, are the kids. I agree that Elle Fanning is terrific. I wish to God her parents would pick better projects for her. But the rest of the kids were awful. The main character is a dope. The director kid is a mini dictator that you just want to send to his room, lock the door, throw away the key. And the pyro kid, he's a good psychiatrist. Yeah, this is a theme. Psychiatry is a theme here. And they're just not likable or interesting enough to watch. And then Abrams has the gall to think we're going to believe that these dumb kids are going to outthink Air Force researchers and escape from a security facility and find some vital evidence and solve the mystery. Yeah, that's going to happen. I could go on and on and on about the problems with this flick, including the whole issue of the inciting incident, which I still can't quite figure out how it could have happened. I mean, I don't know how the character who made it happen could have known to do what he did, because I don't really want to give away too much. Why the Air Force would have transported the cargo the way it did, et cetera, et cetera. But I really don't see the point of discussing that any further. The best part of the picture for me was seeing the Super 8 flick at the end of the picture.
Yeah.
But otherwise, this was just terrible, super garbage. I'm giving this a D-.
All right, that's fair enough. Yeah, I think that's... I see where you're coming from. I mean, I didn't have such a problem with the kids. And you know, the whole conflict with the parents and that spilling over into the kids, and there was like a little budding romance there between Elle Fanning and the main boy.
Yeah.
I like that. I thought that was sweet and nice.
Yeah, I like that too.
And the conflicts between the parents, you know, I thought that was really good. But again, you know, all this sci-fi stuff just comes in and gets in the way. And, you know, I don't know. You can see it in the trailer. Just watch the trailer. And initially, it looks really interesting. And then all these weird, you know, special effects stuff starts to happen. And you just don't care. So,
yeah. And well, and the problem is like a lot of these questions that I posed here partially tongue in cheek, but I was asking these questions while I'm watching the picture. That's a big problem because, you know, a lot of times, now I'm a huge fan of this genre stuff. I like spy films. I like, you know, the superhero stuff, some of the superhero films we've watched. And if I'm watching it, I'm getting caught up in it, and I'm saying, okay, this is pretty exciting stuff. I can go with this. Oh, I hope this character doesn't die. Oh, I hope they save the world or whatever the thing is. And then a couple hours later, I'm saying, well, wait a minute. This doesn't quite work. I really don't care because I was immersed in it. It was entertaining enough to make me forget about some of the logical inconsistencies. If I'm asking these questions as this stuff is happening, we have a problem. And I think that was a big problem for me here. And I just didn't like the – and the other problem is I just didn't like the kids. I just really didn't like it. I like the story. I like the idea of the story. I just didn't like the kids who were trying to live it. So I think that was a big problem for me with this picture.
All right. Fair enough.
So that's how it goes. All right. Well, Mr. Movie, now we're going to move from the absurdly stupid and pointless film about loss, and we're going to move to a moving, insightful one called Beautiful Boy.
Breaking news. We are getting reports of a shooting at a college this morning.
Oh, my God.
Are you Mrs. Carroll?
Yes. He's dead.
Yes, ma'am.
No, he's not.
I'm afraid there's more.
Lost our son. What do they want from us?
We're news.
We are deeply sorry for the devastation our son has caused. We are shocked and utterly heartbroken.
Some things are better left.
Did we do something?
Forgot.
Did we not do something?
Should take a few more weeks off. See somebody.
I don't need to see anyone.
Bill, it's not a suggestion.
So we're just gonna erase our son's memory, is that it?
We have to try to start moving forward.
You should be defending us!
There's no defense for what he did!
Bill and Kate are a long married couple, successful, beautiful, and the proud parents of Sam. They're also desperately unhappy and on the verge of separating. And then the unthinkable happens. Their beloved college-age son walks into his college classroom with two loaded pistols and shoots and kills 17 teachers and classmates before taking his own life. Now, Beautiful Boy is a tough picture to watch, but it's fascinating and refreshing at the same time. We see a different take on loss and healing in the face of the unthinkable. Bill, played searingly by Michael Sheen, is unmoored by the event. Forced to take time off from work, cocooned in his brother-in-law's home, he blames himself and Kate for creating a monster. Kate, played by Maria Bello, finds a surrogate son in her young nephew, convincing herself that her boy was ultimately a good person and the media has turned him into a monster. Now, director Sean Koo, who also co-wrote the script, doesn't allow any easy answers. And really, there are no answers at all. He's more interested in how the parents and everyone else who loves Sam has to cope with what he did. And it's not easy, leading to an explosive, emotionally brutal confrontation between Bill and Kate that is completely unexpected but follows logically from the rest of the story. At 100 minutes, the film is just a tad long, and there are a couple of twists, including an incident in which Bill is injured, that didn't quite work for me. But I did like the emotional truth of the R-rated picture from Anchor Bay Films. The acting is all top-notch, and the directing and writing overall is assured and smart. There are one or two scenes that just end instead of turning into big emotional into a big emotional confrontation. That sort of and then it's building up this kind of energy, which makes the big blow up at the end work a lot better and feel more visceral. Now, you won't walk away from this with an uplifted spirit, but it will make you think and make you question your assumptions and maybe even ask, what would I do? And that's when a film transcends the medium and really becomes something special and interesting. I'm giving this an A-.
Wow. Yeah, great points on this movie, Mr. Film. And, you know, it's interesting because my initial reaction was, you know, this is kind of a C-plus movie, but I think you've convinced me to up it a little.
Okay.
I agree this is an interesting story, and quite frankly, I was surprised to see the subject dealt with on the big screen at all. Taking the point of view of the parents of a kid who commits such a heinous crime is pretty unique.
Yeah.
And it deals with issues, you know, it raises and deals with issues that you might expect. Who was really responsible? What responsibility do the parents play? And how has this impacted their lives? At the beginning of the picture, we see that the family is pretty typical failing marriage kind of situation. The mother and father, as you mentioned, are on the brink of divorce, sleeping in separate bedrooms, and are really struggling with their marriage. And then their son commits these murders, and you'd think that would really be the end of their marriage. And it's interesting to see how these terrible events actually pull them together, though not in the neat fashion you might think, which you touched on, Mr. Film, quite well. And while it would have been easier for them maybe to call it quits, this is a story about a redemption of a marriage in a setting where redemption seems next to impossible. And that's what makes this so hard, because there really is no redeeming what their son did. And naturally, Maria Bello and Michael Sheen, who are excellent in this, question themselves as parents, and we see them struggling with extreme guilt. Some of it is earned, and some of it isn't. It would be easy to say that this kid's parents are monsters, given the monstrosity of what their son did, but we see that they're not, and they're decent but flawed people. And there's a theme in here that's touched on a number of times fairly explicitly, which is fine. Which is that things change whether we like it or not. And how we deal with that change really defines our character. Inaction is not an option. And how we face the change, even in the face of such terrible and evil actions by someone so close to us, is the ultimate test that we, the audience, witness here. It forces the main characters to really own their demons and face them. That they choose to ultimately face their worst nightmare, while tragic, is a testament to their character and resolve. This movie will really make you second-guess just placing blame on others willy-nilly, and while they do have their faults, this is ultimately an important exercise in justice and judging others, and I think it's worth seeing for that reason alone. I do agree the picture is slow at times and a bit too long, and it would be easy to criticize the picture for not taking a more harsh view of their son's actions, but this is told from the perspective of the parents, and so it's not really about what their son did, per se. So in the end, this is a very uncomfortable movie, but worth taking a look at. So I'm going to go with a B on this, Mr. Film.
Okay. Yeah, I think that's right, and I think you made some good points. That's what I do like about the film, that it isn't there are no easy answers, and I like the whole idea. Like, and this is always something that's been it's interesting to me, because, you know, even when you look at this in a real a real story, an unfortunate story like this, or a fictional one where, you know, the characters, you know, usually they're action sort of things where the characters are involved in some big conflict and, you know, stop a bad guy or something like that. I always think about what happens the next day, the next week, the next month, and this is what we see. We see really the consequences of to the parents who have this boy who they obviously love and adore and they still think of as this cute little kid that they raised and he does such a horrible thing, and there are no answers, and I like how you described the way their marriage, about their marriage, because it isn't one of the they are brought together, but not in this, as you say, in this clean sort of way. So I really thought what I really appreciate about this film, that it was such a mature look at this relationship. Like I said, there are a couple of plot points that bugged me a little bit, but I like the emotional truth of it. And we've had several of these kinds of films in the last few months. We had Rabbit Hole and Blue Valentine, which we both liked, which have done the same thing. So it's really, I am really excited. These aren't fun films to go see. They're not the kind of films I'm probably going to go out necessarily want to see again anytime soon.
Right.
But I think they're good films. They're the kind of things I'm glad I did see it, and because it does get you thinking, it does get you to reflect on where you come down on this and such. And so it starts to bring film as literature, as opposed to just a bunch of pictures and spooling on a wall.
Yeah.
So I appreciated the film for that.
Yeah, and I think anybody who's been married a long time knows that it's not all a honeymoon, and you know there are struggles and there are conflicts, and the fact that you know we're married to someone who we love a lot oftentimes brings out a lot of emotional issues and conflicts, which are amplified by the fact that, you know, you're married to this person who you love and you're also in these conflicts. So we see that here. We see that with the other pictures that you mentioned. And this obviously is sort of the extreme, you know, extreme illustration of that. But there's a lot to recognize here. And there's something to walk away from, you know, from seeing this. So definitely go out and check this out. I do think, you know, the picture's a little dark at times, just in terms of visually how it's shot. I know it's not a happy picture and whatnot, but it's a little too grainy at times, and you know, it definitely has that low budget feel, which is fine, but it does get a little bit too much at times, I think, which brought my grade down a little bit. But as a story, it's definitely worth a watch and worth taking a look at.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's nice. What I am actually excited about with a film like this and a couple other films we've seen like this over the last couple of weeks and even ones that were a little lighter that were like this, we are having some. What's really refreshing that even though we are in kind of the midst of, you know, the blockbuster season, the big, you know,
right.
Kind of dumb blockbuster type films, is that we are getting some smart, interesting, thought provoking pictures that are coming out. So it's heartening to in a sense that we are getting these as well.
Yeah, that's true. No, that's nice that there is something out there for everybody. So
yeah, and for every mood, you know, because sometimes I love the big, you know, the big blockbuster pictures, but I also like these kind of pictures as well, you know, that do challenge you and make you think and make you reflect on where you come down on some of these issues.
All right. Well, that's all we have for this show, Mr. Film. Next show, we're going to have a similar kind of mix. We're going to start out with Green Lantern, the big blockbuster for next weekend. And then we're also going to take a look at a documentary called Buck, which looks kind of interesting. And it is an interesting sort of alternative to the big movies that are out there as well. So that should be an interesting show.
I think so. I think it'll be a good balance again.
All right. And as always, visit our website at www.moviefilmshow.com. If you have a comment or question, just write to us at mail@moviefilmshow.com, or you can call our 24-hour comment line at 818-581-2010. All right, Mr. Film. I'll see you next show.
See you next show, Mr. Movie.
This is just a big budget beaver.
It would have been more interesting if the supernatural elements weren't supernatural at all. I don't like the way early 80s pictures look and feel.
Golly gee, look at me. I'm Steven Spielberg, and I staged this disaster scene so you can tell it was me who did it.
If I'm asking these questions as this stuff is happening, we have a problem.
This is ultimately an important exercise in justice and judging others.
I found Super 8 both dissatisfying and I hated it.